So to actually spend the day with your own experience and supported by others who are open to investigating and really really allowing a continuity of mindfulness to reveal to us our own wisdom, our own potential for happiness. So throughout the day, I'm going to be reading short verses and some poetry. And at the end of the day, I'm going to leave a sheet out with some of these verses for you to take home. But I really invite you, both with the poetry and with the teachings, just to see what resonates with you. And sometimes in our lives, there can be phrases or words that have such impact and such resonance that they enter us and become an ongoing way of really examining our lives. So I invite you to see if there are any of these poems or phrases or images that speak to you, and to see if you can take them home with you and maybe commit them to memory and let them again sink in and deepen your way of viewing and understanding your lives. So the format of the day will be some sitting, some walking. There will be two group interviews. And just raise your hand if you are new to practice. So a few people. So those who are new to practice, perhaps come to the first group interview, even if your last name begins with M to Z. So the first group interview will be in the little library around the corner here at the first walking period, which is 9:45. So those whose last names are A to L, and those who are new to practice, please come to that group interview if you feel moved to. You may not feel the need of an interview. So these group interviews are actually quite wonderful opportunities to hear what other people's experience is, or what they are inquiring into. And sometimes those speak to us, sometimes they don't, but there's still a way of understanding how each of us has their own individual path that we're exploring. So sitting, some walking, some lunchtime. And as Sandra said so beautifully, this is really a time to go within. So we are with others, and we're supported by others, but we're not engaging in interaction verbally. And we may even want to just let our gaze be lowered as we pass another, though we may want to open a door or help someone in some way that seems necessary. So it's interesting. It's like being together and being alone. And really that, we could say, is our experience of life. We're together in life, but ultimately we are alone. So can we feel the support and offer the support that permits us to do this difficult practice? It's not easy, but it is tremendously beneficial. So, this practice of mindfulness, what is it? It's really this gentle discipline of not turning away, of being willing to stay present, with restlessness, with agitation, with physical discomfort, with mental turbulence, with difficult memories. So mindfulness is this invitation to really go to the edge of our comfort zone and to see the evanescent, fleeting nature of all these different experiences. Can we stay present without adding layers of story? Can we open to the truth of change as it manifests from moment to moment? And gradually we discover that we are in fact nurturing a whole new way of being in the world. We discover that our happiness is no longer so dependent on external conditions. And we recognize the ease that's possible, the equanimity that's possible, the contentment that's possible, no matter what's happening. So your friends may have said, "What? You're going to another retreat? You're going to spend the day in silence? You could be doing so many things. Why, it's almost warm enough to garden. You could be out there in the garden. You could come for a hike. All those projects, all those ways that we spend our time." But actually, spending the day in silence today is a way of polishing your perception, softening your heart and mind, so that however you spend the day tomorrow, you will be more open, more receptive, more alert, and able to truly take in the wonder of being. So your practice today is supported by your practice in the past. Times when you took your seat in meditation. Times when you offered your support to someone and expressed your naturally generous heart. Your practice today is supported by all those wholesome acts of the past. And your practice today is a support to your happiness in the future. So this is a poem I wrote a few years ago. I was on my way to about a month of silent practice in Massachusetts in April 2009, and I was I had some trepidation about going to be on retreat for several weeks, but I was aware of silence, of that potential of silence. It's called the landing strip. I think of silence as a landing strip in a jungle landscape. Seen from above, the place looks uninhabited. Who keeps this runway clear? I ask. What kind of love prepares the ground, invites me down? Explore, she whispers. All of this is yours now. Hush. The warblers and the laughing thrush, the roar of thought. A waterfall of nothing. But why land here if the place is truly still? Why come if I do nothing but invade the quiet with the habit of my will? Becoming through desire? And yet I made myself a promise, this, to touch the earth. To be a witness to each death, each birth. So silence is this runway in a jungle landscape. So the jungle is the world of sense experience that surrounds us and entices us? What kind of love prepares the ground? Well, that's the generosity of the Buddha, who, when he was awakened and experienced the freedom of mind that came with that awakening, he wondered whether there was anyone who could understand and follow this path of practice. And he was encouraged, and he was told, "There are those with but little dust in their eyes. Please offer these teachings." What kind of love prepares the ground, invites us down? That is the Buddha and the Buddha's teachings, and the tradition through these centuries. "Explore," she whispers, and that's the invitation. Come and see for yourself what brings happiness and what brings suffering. And yet there is this doubt. Why land here if the place is truly still? So we have this fear of disrupting others through the noise, the mental chatter that is within us. Are we not invading the quiet with the habit of our will? But doubt is just one more manifestation, one more appearance in the mind that can be known. So we have made ourselves a promise today to enter into this practice, to investigate, to explore the roar of thought, to touch the earth, and to be a witness. So one famous image of the Buddha is from his night of awakening, when Mara, the personification of sense desire, when Mara came and enticed him. And the Buddha reached out and placed one hand on the earth and said, "The earth is my witness. I have every right to sit here." And we have every right to sit here and to understand the mind, to understand the source of suffering and the end of suffering. So with these words of exhortation and encouragement, let us begin.